Okay, folks, good morning. It's time for lecture number 4 in the course. I've been having a bit of flu, so let's hope that I won't lose my voice before the end of this lecture, but we'll see what happens. In any case, we will have quite a lot of videos to watch today, and we will also have some group tasks as well, so I won't be talking all the time, and it also helps my voice to somehow stay at the position it is now. Before we go to the topic, I want to remind you that the bonus exercise part 2 is now available in Moodle. And actually, some of you have already answered to both of the bonus exercises, part 1 and part 2, but just to give you a reminder that the part 2 is now available. And you can answer both of the bonus exercises until October 6th. So keep that in mind. You will get easily half a point raise in your course grade after you have completed both of the bonus exercises and managed through the exam as well. As you can see from the picture, we are actually going to talk about social media, and social media is actually part of this so-called new media landscape. So basically, we were talking about traditional media in sense when people weren't able to be involved and co-create something. But nowadays, when social media is present in the lives of organizations, in our everyday lives as well, it means that we are talking about the new media landscape. We will also take a look on these different types of media in this online setting where social media is also part of. I will begin by talking to you something about the corporate communication and how does it function in this changing media environment. We will take a look on the new media landscape and, like I said, also the different types of media in this online setting. I will also give you some practical examples. We will watch the video that can also be found in Moodle. Ville Halonen, who is online producer at DNA, will tell you something about social media in the DNA. DNA is one of the biggest telecommunications companies in Finland, and actually, Ville will give you some interesting insights about the what kind of a job he's having when he's doing social media in his everyday tasks at DNA. We will also take a look at a little longer video, which is the Facebook 10-year roadmap that Mark Zuckerberg actually introduced back in 2016. We will take a little. We get some hints about the future of social media in that video. And we will also have a discussion after Ville's video and after this Facebook video as well. And if we have enough time, I will also introduce some interesting case example of how negative publicity in social media has turned into a good PR for one of the biggest grocery stores in Australia, Woolworths. But we'll take a look how much time does it take to get there. And if we have enough time, I will show you the example. In any case, you will find it from the end of this presentation. And by the way, this presentation is already in Moodle, so just log in and you should find this there. So, like I already told you, this new media thinking is actually something that provides both opportunities and challenges for organizations. Of course, it is easier for the organizations to communicate and engage with their stakeholders. But at the same time, there are also challenges because some of the stakeholders and some of the customers, publics in general, they don't know anymore who's talking, and is there somebody more trustworthy person, for example, in social media than some other? This somehow gives some threats for the organizations. Of course, when the organizations are able to interact with their audiences, when they're able to co-create with them something and in that way engage the customers, for example, it is more fruitful for everybody. And usually when a customer, for example, tells to his or her friend that this organization has done a good job, and if it somehow becomes public, it's always a good thing for the organization. And this wasn't the case back in the days when we talk about traditional media, when the organization was the only voice about the issues related to this organization. Of course, there has always been print media and television, but it's more powerful when a person like me, person like you, is encouraging to use some products or services of certain organization. So when we talk about social media and these called Web 2.0 technologies, they, of course, give us more interaction, more free-flowing conversation between the practitioners of the organization and the stakeholders. And this was naturally not the case, well, maybe 15 or 20 years ago. Not in the sense that we understand it now. And as you can imagine, traditional media involved only this one-way messaging techniques through which the organization spoke to an audience. It was actually pretty difficult for the stakeholders to stay in some sort of conversation with an organization, in the sense, and especially they weren't able to do it so publicly as nowadays. And when we talk about new media, or when we talk about social media, it's a form of crowdcasting. So basically, the stakeholders can organize and self-organize themselves as crowds, and they can order to produce and disseminate content about an organization. So basically, the stakeholders can create their own content related to organization without any attempts by the organization to sort of produce the content. So basically, if there's something related to organization, we don't need that organization anymore to produce that content. And this means also that the stakeholders are no longer passive audiences. They actively participate. And this also means that the stakeholders can do it in good or they can do it for bad. So it is not always that they somehow encourage people to use the services of an organization. They can also do some boycotts for the organization. They can spread negative issues related to organization. And all of this is of course, affecting to the performance and at the end of the day also to the profits that the organization will get when time goes on. And this is actually again from your book, this picture. Of course it shows that what is the difference between this traditional media environment and new media environment. Like I told you, this is sort of many-to-one, many-to-many communication model. Feedback is involved. We talk about this feedback and interaction in the last, I think it was on lecture 2. And like I told you, the content generation is more free. content can be created basically by anyone without any involvement of the organization. And like I told you, it's not about anymore like print media or television. There are different platforms and arenas in online environments where people can interact with each other and talk about issues related to themselves or, of course, related to organizations, which is naturally the viewpoint of corporate communication practitioners as well. And the rules of communication, they are messy and emergent. The nature is pretty unpredictable, actually, in the online environments as well. So, because the organization, they don't have the control anymore about all the messages that are flowing related to them, it creates a situation where it could be challenging when they are not able to predict what happens next. And also, if you look at the cost of content production, it's a lot cheaper in this new media environment because simply, well, the organizations, if they want to send a message, they can do it in social media. They don't have to pay any more expensive TV ads or pay expensive ads in newspapers. Of course, they are doing that still today, but the environment has changed a lot, and you don't have to use so much money in the content itself. I think it's more about how they are able to use that money to engage people and sort of get positive public relations behind their backs. So when we go deeper into this online setting and this new media environment, the course book introduces these three sort of media types in an online setting. they talk about owned media. Basically, it's an online media that an organization owns and thus somehow controls. This is under the control of the organization. They can more or less decide what kind of content and what kind of messages they're sending, what kind of discussions are going on there. Then we talk about paid media. For example, in some online media, the organization can advertise their products and services by display ads using sponsored links. I think many of you, when you visit some sort of website, there is, if you don't use ad blockers, you can see advertisements there. And the third group is the earned media. this is more like uncontrollable by the organization. This is the stakeholder-generated online word of mouth about the organization that, in effect, becomes the medium. So all this good, bad publicity, all these messages that the stakeholders are sending, for example, in social media, and they start to live their own life there. And it's either good or bad for the organization, or neutral, depending on the case. Of course, there are different challenges related to these three media types. When we talk about owned media, like you can see, there is no guarantees of engagement. And the reason is that the stakeholders are not related in this owned media content production. But the organization can also engage the audiences if they are successful. And then we also talk about earned media at the same time. So it is possible that if we talk about owned media, it could shift to this earned media, which is in many cases more powerful tool because the audiences are involved. They co-create basically something. And when they talk, other people are listening to them in a more, I would say they trust more to these people than organization itself. Of course, depending on an organization, I have to speak in a pretty broad perspective at the moment. This is also very, very organization-specific issue. Okay, this is a little bit small, but when we talk about earned, paid, and owned media, it is also important to add something else to this mix. This is something you don't find in the book, but Vilma showed you this in the first lecture, actually. When we talk about this media landscape in an online platforms, this earned, paid, and owned media are most often used. What is important to notice and what is actually a rising topic when we talk about measurement from the perspective of corporate communication, we also have to take a look on shared media, search media, hijacked media, mined media, and rented media as well. You're able to see some examples what does it actually mean to when we talk about these different media platforms there. Shared media is actually content in these social networks and services freely distributed and shared by the users related to the organization or brand. This is also related to the earned media platform, but more in a sense that somebody else is going to share these posts and they get more public attention than just somebody, one person saying something. So when we want to differentiate earned and shared media, shared usually has more public and more publics and more audiences seeing the message or post. There is also search media. Search engine optimization is nowadays very important for the organization that they can differentiate themselves. Of course, from the other organizations, but also in a sense that if there are some, for example, positive discussions going on online, negative discussions going on online, what are the top search results for the organization? If you, for example, Google the name of the organization, is the first link going to their own website, or is the first link some negative discussion going on in some discussion forum? This is very important for the organization to take into account because not many people are willing to, if they Google the name, go through all the hundreds of thousands of search results about the organization. Usually they are looking for the top 5 or top 10 results and pick something there. We can also talk about hijacked media. For example, simplest example would be some sort of hashtag, for example, hashtag Walmart sucks, for example, if some group is using it against Walmart, for example. And this could also lead into negative publicity for the organization. Of course, there are also positive possibilities available, but that's the simplest example of hijacked media, using the hashtags in a way or another without any involvement by the organization. Then there is also this mined media. It is actually surprising how much information there are available about organizations without them knowing something about it. For example, there could be some sort of Excel files giving some statistical analysis about the organization that is, well, not basically public, but for some reason the search engines, for example, can find, or if you used some more advanced techniques to mine these media, you would be able to find some information related to organization that they don't necessarily want to be public. So this is also one of the issues nowadays that the organization has to be really careful about what they are sending online, and if they're sending something that they really protect the information, they don't want to be public. So this is actually one of the arising topics in the media, new media environment nowadays. And of course, when organizations want to be involved, they can use so-called influencers. For example, YouTube stars are nowadays influencers in a sense that they have many followers. They are doing commercial, they have some sort of commercial relationships with organizations, and they are very powerful influencers for not just young, but for also elderly people as well, depending on the influencer. Hanna Reinikainen will actually tell you more about this new media landscape, and I think when we are going to meet on next Monday and Hanna will be here, I think that she will have some things show you about how, for example, YouTube stars are nowadays part of these different organizations and their media environment as well. And actually, how it goes nowadays, when you can see that the online media is, it's sort of, there are so many different viewpoints to take a look, it comes down to the good storytelling, that if you really want to sort of differentiate yourself, if you want to really show something new for the publics that have already seen it all, you really have to focus on the storytelling and understand the basics, especially when we look at this media environment from the perspective of corporate communication professionals. You really have to understand the so-called transmedia storytelling and how different issues are, sort of one thing leads to another and so forth. But let's watch this video and you will get a clue what this is all about.
People have always needed stories. We use them to communicate and feel connected. Good stories become part of our lives and our culture. All recognizable brands have that one thing in common. They all tell a story. However, some things are changing. We've never had so many channels and devices to follow a story with, and today, consumers look for deeper and more engaging experiences, which is probably why some stories are told and followed in a different way. Xavi logs onto Facebook. His friend Andres has shared a video on his wall. At a live gig of a famous musician, a girl jumps on stage, grabs a microphone and starts singing. Her voice is astonishing. Right before security removes her from stage, she takes off a shoe and throws it to the audience. The crowd goes mad. The video is fun and surprising. Xavi decides to share it on Twitter, where 30 of his friends discover it for the first time. One of them, Anna, creates a GIF of the shoe throw and uploads it onto Tumblr. A few hours later, there are 20 more versions and the video has reached 5,000 views. Paco reads in Rolling Stone magazine that the singer from the concert is looking for the mystery girl and wants to make a version of the song featuring her. Paco visits the official Twitter of the singer. He has published a picture of the shoe that was thrown to the audience, claiming it's a clue. The shoe is a brand new sneaker model. The singer signs off his tweet with the hashtag #WhosThatGirl, which rapidly becomes a trending topic. Pepe types in the phrase written on the shoe on Google and lands on a sneaker blog reviewing the shoe. He loves them so much, he shares them to his Pinterest. Marta and Julia watch the highlights of a talent show on TV. One of the castings stands out. A girl with a fantastic voice gets humiliated by the jury for no apparent reason. The girl mentions she cleans for a living and that she had to work extremely hard to get there. This increases the criticism of the teasing of the jury. Julia, who happened to be at the live concert of the artist, identifies the girl in the casting. It's her, the mystery girl. She searches for the casting highlights online and shares it to Facebook. Meanwhile, the record label of the singer uploads the live song featuring mystery girl onto Spotify and iTunes, which rapidly moves up the charts. Jose, Fernando, and 5 million people see a sneaker TV ad of the same shoes the girl threw into the audience. The artist announces he will use his next concert to try and find the mysterious girl and hopefully have another chance to sing with her. Loads of girls would love a chance to sing with him, but only the original owner of the shoe will have this opportunity. By then, the original YouTube video has reached 3 million hits. 300,000 fans go to the concert, a good few wearing the famous sneakers which went on sale a week before. The mystery girl appears on stage, the artist puts the shoe on her, and it's a perfect fit. The duo sing their by now famous track. The shoe has finally reunited them. This is how a classic fable adapts adequately to the audience and mediums of today. It might not reflect your product, but it does reflect the reality of your audience and the way they process information. For this reason, and in order to stay relevant to a hyper-connected generation being present in their minds and lives, we'd need liquid content, adaptable, in order to distribute it across all available mediums. Different levels of depth in the story, made to offer different levels of involvement for each user, enabling them to go as deep down the rabbit hole as they please. And a cohesive message throughout, where each piece enhances the story whilst feeding the conversation constantly. A different way of telling stories altogether. A transmedia narrative. A transmedia narrative is a process where each and every element of a story gets systematically scattered through multiple distribution channels, with the objective of creating a coordinated and unified experience, ideally with each medium collectively contributing to the story in its own particular way. So why does a brand need this? It's a powerful and immersive persuasion tool. It's pure 21st century entertainment, which grips our brains. It's a fan-generating machine, given that transmedia strategies create a strong emotional link with an audience. And it's profitable. It redefines and increases ROI whilst generating buzz across all media. But moreover, because the transmedia narrative is the best and most surprising way to connect with the new generations, it builds a sustainable audience around your brand. Are you ready to amaze your audience?
So welcome to the lovely and unpredictable world of communication, as you can see. So basically, when we talk about corporate communication nowadays, you obviously have to be very alert about the new social media tools, for example, available. But also, it's not the matter of channel you are using. You have to be present there and use different effective techniques, and also be ready for all these unpredictable things that could happen, and how basically your message could take a total curveball at some point and become something totally else than originally planned. We will now continue with videos. Like I told you, this video from Ville Halonen can be found from the Moodle, and I think some of you have already seen this, but this is actually a good insight about the how an sort of big organization utilizes social media in its everyday life. So we can watch this video next, and Ville will tell you something about social media in telecommunication Cases company DNA. By the way, can you hear the voice back there? I guess so. Yep.
Olen Ville ja työskentelen DNA:lla online-tuottajana, pääasiassa sosiaalisen median tuottajana, sosiaalinen media ja sisältömarkkinointi erityisesti. Sitten mun vastuualueella niiden koordinointi ja tittelistäkin päätellen tuottaminen. Ja olen valmistunut Jyväskylän yliopiston yhteisöviestinnästä tuossa helmikuun alussa tänä vuonna 2017. Pääasialliset tehtävät liittyy kaikki meidän sosiaalisen median kanaviin, Facebookiin, Twitteriin, Instagramiin, YouTubeen, Snapchattiinkin nykyään vahvasti, ja sitten esimerkiksi Instagramin My Story tai Instastory on tässä mukana myös. Kaikki mahdolliset uudet kokeillaan mielellään ja yritetään pysyä kärryllä, että missä mennään tuossa sosiaalisen median puolella. Siellä on aktiivisesti muuttuva työympäristö. Lähtökohta on se, että me suunnitellaan kaikki. saattaa kuulostaa sosiaalisen median työ semmoiselta, että sinne vaan läiskitään sitä tätä ja yritetään olla läsnä ja mahdollisimman paljon, mutta se on hyvin suunniteltua sekä brändin että niin kuin työnantajamielikuvan, että muutenkin imagon kannalta, että miltä DNA näyttää sosiaalisessa mediassa. Mun pääasiallisen tehtävin kuuluu se, että koordinoidaan tätä koko toimintaa ja usein mä saan inputtia tähän sitten joko sieltä markkinoinnin tiimistä tai viestinnästä tai sitten ihan muualtakin eri puolilta taloa, että nyt haluttaisiin lähteä tekemään jotain tämän ympärille tai saisiko tästä jotain irti. Me kokoonnutaan joka viikko tämmöiseen somedeskiin yhdessä sitten erilaisten viestinnän ammattilaisten kanssa täältä talosta, jotka kaikki edustaa vähän omanlaista näkökulmaansa tähän näin. Ja sitten katsotaan, että miten me voitaisiin mahdollisimman hyvin käsitellä erilaisia asioita ja miten meidän pitää suhtautua erilaisiin ilmiöihin, jopa niin kuin EU-lainsäädännön muutoksiin, miten nämä vaikuttaa meidän sosiaalisen median tekemiseen. Yleensä sitten, kun tulee tämmöinen niin kuin haaste tai tehtävänanto tai toivomus, niin me lähdetään käsittelemään sitä sitten meidän kumppanitoimiston kanssa. Kaikki koordinointityö on siinä sitten mun vastuulla ja käytännön toteutuksen valvominen ikään kuin, että mitä sieltä sitten syntyy lopulta meidän kanaviin ja kuinka sitten huomioidaan erilaisten kanavien erilaiset tarpeet missäkin toteutuksessa. Ja lopulta vielä se, että millä tavalla, minkälaista markkinointibudjettia käytetään siihen, eli näitähän sitten myös näissä kanavien sisällä markkinoidaan rahalla näitä päivityksiä, ja niitä sitten kohdennetaan tarkasti tietyille yleisöille, ja me myös usein mietitään nämä kohdeyleisöt valmiiksi. No, myymälöiden lisäksi, niin meillä on tietenkin sosiaalinen media varmaan yksi tärkeimmistä meidän jatkuvan näkyvyyden kanavista. Se on semmoinen paikka, minne helposti nykyaikana asiakkaat tulee ottamaan yhteyttä, hakemaan tietoa. Jos jotain tapahtuu DNAn ympärillä, niin DNAn Facebook-kanava on DNAn verkkosivujen ja myymälöiden lisäksi tietenkin yksi suurimmista kohteista, minne ihmiset löytää tiensä. Meillä on Facebookissa yli 200 000 seuraajaa ja me myös vastataan heille aktiivisesti. Eli Facebook voi laittaa viestiä suoraan DNAlle ja me myös vastataan siellä asiakaspalvelukysymyksiin. Samalla tehdään Twitterissä, tehdään Instagramissa, ollaan läsnä siellä, missä asiakkaatkin haluaa olla. Eli on tärkeää, että meihin voi ottaa yhteyttä siellä, missä meihin haluaa ottaa yhteyttä asiakaslähtöisesti. Ja seuraajia tosiaan siis, niin kuin sanoin, niin Facebookissa 200 000 ja pyritään kaikissa muissakin kanavissa tietenkin kasvattamaan tätä määrää, että se kertoo hyvin, että ihmiset löytää meidät sosiaalisen median kanavissa. Esimerkiksi tämä Snapchat tuoreempana, niin sielläkin ollaan jo 6 000 tällä hetkellä, ja siinä täytyy huomioida, että niissä on hyvin erilaiset seuraajakunnat meillä, että minkälaista viestiä pistetään eteenpäin. Että esimerkiksi lapset, nuoret 13-12 ylöspäin, niin ottaa meihin itse asiassa yllättävän paljon yhteyttä myös Snapissa, kun ne seuraa meitä. Jos heillä on joku ongelma tai jos he kysyvät, että myyttekö tätä puhelinta, niin he saattaa kysyä siitä Snapchatissa, niin me sitten vastataan sieltä. Lähtökohta yleensä on se, että me halutaan tätä vuorovaikutteisuutta ja sitoutuvuutta korostaa näissä päivityksissä sitten, kun niitä tuonne someen tehdään. Jokainenhan tietenkin toivoo, että se oma viesti muodostuisi jonkinlaiseksi ilmiöksi, että hyvä esimerkki tältä kesältä oli tämä Prisman kassalive, jossa näkyi hihna. Kassahihnaa kuvattiin livenä monta tuntia ja selvisi kulovalkean tavoin sosiaalisessa mediassa. Tämmöisiähän jokainen toivoisi saavansa, että viesti lähtee orgaanisesti leviämään. Ja, useimmiten sitä ei saavuteta, tämmöiset on yleensä kiinni hyvin paljon myös tuurista, vaikka niitä kovin pyritäänkin suunnittelemaan. Mutta jos onnistuu saamaan vaikuttava viesti läpi, jota ihmiset haluaa jakaa itse omatoimisesti erilaisissa sosiaalisen median kanavissa, ottaa kantaa ja me voidaan ainoastaan tavallaan ohjailla sitä keskustelua oikeaan suuntaan, niin se on mun mielestä onnistunut viesti. kuukausittain tavallisesti tehdään raportit siitä, että kuinka meidän yleisöt on kasvanut, kuinka meidän tavoittavuus on muuttunut, kuinka meidän engagement rate on muuttunut, eli tämmöinen sitoutuvuus meidän päivityksiin, kuinka me ollaan onnistuttu aktivoimaan ihmisiä. Sitten siihen liittyy tiettyjä tavoitteita, jotka on sitten ihan myös päivityskohtaisia. Vuorovaikutteisuus ja ajankohtaisuus on semmoiset, jotka pitää yleensä mielenkiintoisena tämän duunin. Että kaikki tapahtumat, mitä meillä on nytkin kesällä ollut, missä me ollaan oltu mukana, Tubecon, Suomi-areena, Porjatsit siinä yhteydessä, kaiken näköiset tempaukset ja muut, niin sosiaalinen media on totta kai aktiivisesti läsnä näissä, näytetään ihmisille, missä me ollaan, mitä me tehdään, millä tavalla me tehdään, miksi me tehdään. Ja se, että sä pääset itse olemaan mukana tässä ikään kuin aallon harjalla näissä tapahtumissa, niin se on usein on vähän semmoinen etuoikeutettu olla.
Okay. I think most of you guys have somehow been involved in social media. Of course, you might have just connections with your friends and stuff like that, but you could actually take a little moment to discuss in small groups that have you been in contact with some companies or organizations in social media? When? Why and how? Did you send some sort of private message, or did you post your thoughts publicly, for example, on this corporation's page? And what kind of answer you got? What kind of treatment, apologies, anything? Did you get anything? You can now discuss in small groups, and we can chat with you guys after that, if you have any interesting stories to tell. Okay. So, we can now continue. Do you have any interesting stories to share with us? So I'm not a native speaker of, I don't speak English as my mother tongue, so don't be afraid to speak English if you don't speak it in your everyday life. Do you have any interesting stories to share with us? I heard some conversations going on, but are there anything? Nobody. Seriously. Or are you just too afraid to tell? Okay. But like you see from the Ville's video, they are present in many channels, and it of course creates a challenge for the organization. And I think that most of you are also present in many channels. Do you expect something different, for example, if you use Facebook in contrast if you use, for example, Snapchat? How many of you guys are using Facebook, by the way? Just raise your hand. Okay, I think almost everybody. Instagram, anyone? Okay. Twitter? A little less, okay. Snapchat? Okay. So you are using multiple channels. I think most of you are also using WhatsApp. Am I right? WhatsApp? Mm-hmm. So, the thing is that, of course, when you are in some sort of social media channel, you probably expect a little different things. Of course, you can complain or you can somehow praise the organization, for example, in different channels, but the conversation is different, and of course, Instagram, you can use Insta Story, but you post some pictures. And in Facebook, you post pictures, videos. The conversation is totally different than, for example, if you talk about Snapchat. And all these channels, they create some sort of differences in these situations for the users as well as for the organizations. And like I said before, it is not enough that the organization is present at some social media channel. They have to actively use it as well, because otherwise it means that that the organization is only there because they have to, instead of they have some meaning in their efforts to use, for example, Snapchat or Instagram or Facebook or whatever it is. Of course, the channels are also constantly evolving. There are new ways of using social media popping up all the time. And actually, I think it might be interesting to take a look on this next video. It's a bit longer. I think it's about 20 minutes. Let's see if I should cut it a bit shorter. I have already actually cut it a bit shorter when we don't start from the beginning, but I think creator or owner of the Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, will share you this picture and also some other thoughts that are related to the 10-year roadmap that Facebook is actually having. So we will take a look on his keynote speech from last year at Facebook F8 conference. And it is here. I hope that you can hear the noise, because it seems that the speakers, they are not as loud as I would like them to be, but we'll see what happens.
So that's our 10-year roadmap is focused on building the technology to give everyone in the world the power to share anything they want with it. That's our goal. Now, let's look at the word everyone for a moment. Most people in the world, more than 4 billion people, are not even on the internet today. And we need to change this. Because beyond communication, we
Processing about three times as many messages.
that's the best mess ever did, and these services are still growing incredibly quickly. So now that Messenger was scaled, we're starting to develop ecosystems with it. And the first thing we're doing is exploring how you can all communicate with businesses. And you probably interact with dozens of businesses every day, and some of them are probably really meaningful to you. But I've never met anyone who likes calling a business. And no one wants to have to install a new app for every service or business that they want to interact with. So we think that there's got to be a way, a better way to do this. We think that you should just be able to message a business in the same way you'd message a friend. You should get a quick response, and it shouldn't take your full attention, like a phone call would, and you shouldn't have to install a new app. So today we're launching Messenger Platform, so you can build bots for Messenger. And it's a simple platform. It's powered by artificial intelligence. They can build natural language services to communicate directly with people. So that's simple. So CNN, for example, is going to be able to send you a daily digest of stories right to Messenger. And the more you use it, the more personalized it'll get. And if you want to learn about a specific topic, like, say, the Supreme Court nomination or the Zika virus, you just send a message and it'll send you that information. Or take 1-800 flyers. I love this one. Now, if you want to send a message, a flower, you don't have to install your app, or if you're a credit card again, you just send a message. And I bet that's not where you thought those flowers were going to. I know some of you sitting here today who also thought that those were not who those flowers were going to. Now, I have to say, I love this one. I find it pretty ironic. Because now, to order from 1-800 Flowers, you never have to call 1-800 Flowers again. So Messenger is going to be the next big platform for sharing privacy and for helping you connect with services and all kinds of new ways. We're going to talk about this more in a second. We're also at the beginning of the golden age of online video. And earlier this month, we opened up live video to everyone. And the response so far has been pretty amazing. People watch live videos longer, and they comment more than 10 times as much as on regular videos. People love going live because it's so unfiltered and personal, and you feel like you're just there hanging out with your friends. You know, in a funny way, we found that live takes some of the pressure off of having to find the perfect photo or video. Because everyone knows it's live, and it's not curated. Public figures love going live, too, because we're getting huge audiences. We're seeing TV stars get bigger audiences online than they get from their TV shows. So we're going to build this out. We're making it a prominent tab at the Facebook app where you can go see with your friends and other people around the world who are doing live right now. And just be able to recap. Saw a live video of a woman with her young kids skiing down. And it was just mesmerizing. I had to watch it for like a few minutes because I was interested. I really want to make sure these kids get down the hill. And you know, there's usually people who are, you know, playing music or dancing in there. And every once in a while, there's something that's really important and special happening. Like, a couple of days ago, a woman named Lena commented on one of my posts to tell me that when her mother was sick in the hospital, she streamed her wedding online. So her mother and her friends across the country could not only see it, but could be there with them. That's pretty meaningful. So that's a preview of Live. And today we have a developer announcement around Live. We're opening up our Live API. So now you can build the ability to stream video to Facebook Live right into any device. Like, for example, this drone flying in from the back of the room. Come here. Eli is one of our launch partners. and get medical advice for free. 3Day6 is already available in 37 countries, and it has already given access to internet services to more than 25 million people, which makes it one of the most successful connectivity initiatives in the world. And today, we're launching the 3Day6 Singular. So now you can see how your services are going to appear on the platform. So that's connectivity. The next senior challenge that I'm going to talk about is how to help people connect and share in a more natural and intuitive way. And our goal with artificial intelligence is to build systems that are better than people at perception. So seeing, hearing, language, etc. And it's already happening in some cases. Our moments app uses the best face recognition system in the world to help you look at the photos that you've taken and identify which of your friends are in them so you can share them with them if you want.
Newsfeed uses AI to show you the best stories. And we use AI to filter spam out of Messenger. So that way you only get messages from people who you want to hear from.
Okay, we will run out of time. Of course, very interesting insights, very, I would say, opportunistic. Of course, very futuristic as well, what Zuckerberg here showed you. The thing is that when we look at the environment that the organization has, organizations and of course you, me, all of us has to sort of communicate within the next 10 years. It is not all about the sort of social media platforms we are using. It's also about the technology that is involved. And this means that the organizations, they really have to be able to adapt themselves to the newest technology as well, if they want to sort of take all the opportunities out of these different, I would say, predictions and stuff like that. So it's going to be interesting to see that how does this shape how we actually communicate with each other. It has already changed, but more and more different technologies will be involved and it will affect us in a way or another. of course, like I said, this is opportunistic. You can look at things from a positive perspective. But because we are at the university, you also should have a little bit more critical point of view for things. You can again form small groups, and actually you should now discuss about that. How do you see the future of social media? Not just from the platform perspective, but if you look at the technologies that will be involved, And what does the roadmap show you? What does it mean for organizations, but also what does it mean for you? And like I said, also take a critical point of view. Do you see any threats if the social media products, if the technology, for example, are owned by the same company, are run, for example, by Facebook in a way or another? Are there any threats? Feel free. Okay, I think we have only a few minutes left. We haven't got any break, so I will let you go to have a lunch a little bit earlier. So, any thoughts? Any concerns? Or do you see the things as opportunistic as Facebook does? Do you predict any future changes, or do you think that we have already seen it all? Do you have any thoughts? Okay, I guess not today. So, but like I said, there are some good things, there are some bad things, and always we cannot predict everything. And of course, when you are at this course, you, of course, we hope that you like look at the things from the perspective of corporate communication and how the organization should take these different issues into consideration. And at least it would be very good for you to think about these things from different perspectives. Of course, you are using social media in your everyday life, but if you're able to sort of take a perspective of organization and think about the situations and issues they are facing with their communication in today's media, this new media environment, it's not the easiest places or of interaction. We talk about these issue arenas, and there are many, many issues that are going on, not just related to content, but also all this technological development that is going on. It also affects to the organizations. I will show you this quickly. You can take a look this by yourself. This is, of course, we come back to this very day. This is a case that has happened, I think it was back in 2014 or 2015. But some of you guys asked me in the first lecture that can I give an example of how negative social media feedback has been turned into a positive in a way or another. And this is one of the simplest examples of that, related to avocados at Woolworths, that is one of the biggest grocery stores in Australia. Take a look on that link. That is not a long web page to read. Like I said, simple case, but pretty. It showed you some of the good examples of how organization can really turn this negative feedback into its somehow into positive and how the original post actually generates to something other. And actually this sort of summarizes the theme of this lecture as well. So yeah, take a look on that and have a good day. Now let's get some lunch. Thank you.